Welcome to the Fabric Podcast. These messages are intended to spark your own reflections and conversations all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime along with other resources and ways to keep the conversation going at fabricmpls.com/scraps.
Good morning, I'm Greg Meyer. Glad to have you all here with us, and welcome to anybody who's listening via the podcast somewhere, someplace, sometime. Glad you're with us as well. We have been talking about this F word for starting last week. We're going to be talking about it for a few more weeks. So if you weren't here last week, if you didn't hear that, you might want to go back to listen to the podcast, because we really did cover some real basic, some essential background to understanding this misunderstood and unutilized F word that is so important to our lives. So, you know, go back and listen to that. The picture that we have for this is, you know, got the picture of the little girl in the alley with the spray can kind of figuring out what life is all about, which is the way a lot of us figure out what this F word is all about, right? And just in case you aren't tracking with this yet, the F word isn't that one that is maybe in your mind right now. Can't imagine what that one is, but it isn't the word one we use to hurt each other. It's the F word that when it gets in there, it really messes up everything for people on both sides of the saying of the F word, or the experiencing of the F word. And that F word that we're talking about is forgiveness. And so we're going to be on this adventure talking about this for the next couple of weeks. And like that little girl there, most of us get our attitudes and our understandings kind of from the street. I'm sure we're taught about the real, you know, what forgiveness is really all about by our parents and by teachers and so on. But like in most things in life, what we experience, what we see happening, does a lot more formation in our thinking than what we're told or what we're taught. You know, so despite what our parents and teachers taught us, we learn a lot of stuff in the alleys or on the school bus or on the playground, or we see it acted out in the news or on TV and things like that. And we pick up just a whole lot of stuff that really isn't what forgiveness is all about. It's a really cheap version of it. It's all this forget and forget. It's obligatory. It's, you know, kind of get over it sort of stuff. And that isn't the kind of drivel we're talking about here. We're talking about something that's real. So, you know, if you come here and you hit, oh, they're talking about forgiveness. Ooh, that's, you know, what could be more boring? Put aside, kind of assume that maybe you don't understand what forgiveness is all about. Maybe you're walking around with a really cheap version of it. And, you know, and there's more here to be picked up on. In fact, what I'd like to say about that, and if you're going to learn anything, you're going to get anything out of what we're talking about today, let it be this one thing, okay? And that is that your need for forgiveness in your relationships isn't a defect in those relationships. It's actually a means for making those relationships deeper, stronger, and more resilient than they were before, all right? Or let me say it this way. A relationship that hasn't gone through some significant forgiveness episodes is probably a pretty insubstantial relationship. I mean, we're cruising on the way that it's easy to be together. We've never had anything really tested. We haven't had anything that pushed us down deep to figure out why we're really together. And I'm not just talking about a life partner or your kids, but people at work, friends, neighbors, everybody. We haven't had the stuff that actually, what, forges our lives together in ways that see past what meets our preferences, the things that please us, the things that make us happy about the other person. But we find out, like, how do we really fit together and how can we make life and make the world work together? So during these weeks, I'm inviting you to consider that maybe you've understood forgiveness wrong all along, okay? At least you don't understand the whole thing yet. Maybe you don't need to be ashamed or embarrassed or afraid or conflicted about all the problems or the tensions or the disconnects that are in your relationships. Maybe this is their chance to take those relationships to a new level. Maybe this is your doorway to what's next for your relationships. Maybe all those things that you understood as problems in your relationships are really the opportunities for you to move from that nice-to-have relationship to one that can go the distance with you. One that's deeper than the preferences and the hopes and the ways of pleasing you, like I was talking about a minute ago. So that's kind of what this is all about, and I hope you're here for this as we talk about that in these next couple weeks. So today we're talking about getting effed, or getting forgiven, right? Or maybe a little bit, you know, more appropriate language. So And that is asking for forgiveness, and asking for forgiveness, saying you're sorry. You know, isn't that everybody's favorite pastime? I just love to go find people and say I'm sorry to them. It's, yeah, I don't like it either. So I wanted you to listen to this brief audio clip. NPR some time ago did a series called Guilty and Charged, and listen to just this short piece from this this one episode.
Yeah. And now Barrett walks into the gas station convenience store because he wants to apologize for shoplifting that beer.
Yeah, my name is Tom Barrett. I was in here April 27, 2012, and I stole a beer. I got arrested for shoplifting. I'm here, one, to just say I'm sorry. And I need to find out what I need to do to make this situation right. I need to pay for it, but I want to make it right.
My husband will be here tomorrow morning, and I will tell him that, what's your name?
Tom Barrett.
Tom Barrett.
Barrett wants to pay back the price of the beer. He says it was $1.29, but he has no money. Back outside, I give Barrett my cell phone.
Yeah, it's ringing, right? Okay. Voicemail.
He calls the blood center. He's got the number written in faded ballpoint ink on the back of his hand.
This is Thomas Barrett. I was just calling to see if my protein sample had come back from the lab yet so I can donate plasma. I'll just call back later.
Tom Barrett, a comfortable middle-class pharmacist with a family, ends up getting addicted to the drugs he's supposed to be selling, loses everything, loses his family, loses his savings, he becomes homeless, finally steals a $1.29 can of beer from a convenience store, gets arrested, spends over a year in prison for stealing that can of beer, comes out, has absolutely nothing to his name. And, you know, so what is he doing? He's kind of been stripped of everything. He has nothing left except for one thing. What is the one thing he has left? He has his character. He has the ability to decide who he wants to be in the world. And he knows he needs to step back to the beginning to figure that out. You know, I think it's really true. When we get everything stripped away from ourselves, all of a sudden some of the important things in life get really clear to us very suddenly. And we start seeing all the stuff we didn't see when things are going fine and we were able to look past it all. So for Tom, that meant setting things straight. He started his adventure by venturing into forgiveness and starting with asking forgiveness in a very real and a very unglamorous way. That's the thing for us, too. When we start this forgiveness path, when we decide we're going to do that step of asking for forgiveness for something that we know we need to be forgiven for, very seldom is that a glamorous moment for us. We do it nonetheless. So asking, you know, forgiveness is hard. I think we'd probably all agree with that. And if you're like me and willing to be honest with yourself, you probably have some forgiving to ask for, and you probably are pretty well aware of it, and you're probably overlooking it as well as you can, all right? On your Sunday paper, you're going to notice up on the side there, there's like a little squiggle area, and it says my I'm sorry list. If you don't have a Sunday paper, there's some more. You can go grab one. But the idea there is write the names of people that you need to ask forgiveness from. You're welcome to use like really messy handwriting so no one can tell what they say, or initials and things like that. And no, I'm not going to ask you to turn to the person next to you and, you know, share this, because chances are that person's name is on there. So we aren't going to ask you to do that right now. In fact, I would venture to say that if those people that are close to you, if their names aren't on there, you're just like kidding yourself, okay? I mean, if you're a close relationship to someone, yeah, you've got something that needs to be forgiven. I guarantee that. We wouldn't have to look too hard, all right? So that's something to work on during the message, during the gathering today. As people pop into your mind and say, oh yeah, you know, big stuff, little stuff, that doesn't really matter. Put their names down there on that area. So Jesus said something to these people who were following him and trying to kind of figure out, like, where's he leading us? And he had a lot of practical advice, and a lot of it actually had to do with forgiveness. He said this at one point. He said, so when you are offering your gift at the altar, right? He's talking about going to the temple, you know, making sacrifices. When you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Now, let's be clear. He is not commenting on temple policy, right? He's not giving you instructions on how you're supposed to make a sacrifice. No, he's talking about some very real relational things, all right? And he's trying to get us down to what's really important. This is people stuff. This is real stuff. He's letting us know that when we get involved with this messy thing of forgiveness, and asking for forgiveness, that's how, you know, that is how, what it means to be setting things right with your brother or sister, right? Reconciliation. He's telling us that when we get involved with that, this is how it's going to happen. So when you are asking for forgiveness, one of the first things you need to realize is that this is an opportunity. This is not a rule, all right? He isn't telling you you have to go do that. I mean, there's no rule that you're not allowed to make an offering at the temple, at the altar, if you still have some, you know, issue with the other people. No, the point is that this is fixing relational stuff, right? This is taking the stone out of your shoe, if you were here last week for that. Because, why? Because, you know, sure, you're at the temple to make this, you know, this gift to God, this offering to God, in order to try to set, according to Jews in the first century anyway, trying to set relationships right with God, but God doesn't just sit there on God's own waiting for you to do that. I mean, if you can't make things all hunky-dory with God if things aren't straight in the world around you, right? So before you think you're going to do it there, go home and, yeah, make peace with the people around you, reconcile with the peace around you, and then come back and do that. That's how it happens. And so he goes on to it and lets us know that this is not a rule, it's how it happens. You can't separate your reconciliation with God with reconciliation with people. It's one and the same. In fact, I would say this. See, forgiveness is an opportunity to live in a world, and that's where Jesus is trying to push people. Forgiveness is an opportunity to live in the world that you want to live in, not the one you're stuck in because you mess things up and you're not willing to do what you need to do in order to set things right. Forgiveness is your opportunity and your way of making that happen. Another thing we learn from Jesus' statement about asking forgiveness is this. He's letting us know it's a daring choice. It is not a weakness. Yeah, to ask for forgiveness is a choice you're going to make. It's a gutsy move. I don't know how it is, but somewhere, most of us, I would guess, pick up this idea that going to someone and telling you're sorry is a move of weakness. You know, you're the person who doesn't have the guts to stand up against them and, you know, push for your rights and push for what you could have and so on, and you're behaving in this weak way with other people. But that's not what it's about. It's a gutsy move. It's a deliberate choice. Tom Barrett going back to that convenience store to say he was sorry, to ask for forgiveness for that and to want to pay it back, he didn't need to do that. I mean, it was over a year ago. I'm sure they don't even remember that the incident even happened anymore. He could have much easier said, all right, that's passed. I spent a year in prison. That has to more than pay for the beer. I'm going to move on. I'm not going to face that humiliation. But no, he said, I've got to go back for my sake. I've got to set things straight in myself first, so I'm going to do this. I don't think that's weakness. I think if we think saying we're sorry, asking forgiveness is a move of weakness, I think we're confusing weakness with vulnerability. Yeah, it's a vulnerable thing to go to someone and tell them you're sorry. You're opening yourself to their anger, to their hurt. I mean, there may be a finger in the dike, right? When you pull that out, the whole thing is just ready to explode on you, and you are making yourself vulnerable to all that. But that is an act of courage to go and to do that and to face that and to say, we can't just keep cruising the way it was. This is time to fix this. That's an important thing for us to realize, the difference there between those two. So what is forgiveness all about? Forgiveness, I think, is starting to orient us to it. And it's basically about this. Forgiveness's purpose is to rebuild you. It's to rebuild you. That's why we seek forgiveness. We know something is broken. We know something isn't right in us. That's why you can't sleep. That's why it eggs on you. That's why, you know, it keeps popping into your mind as you go through daily life. We know we need to be rebuilt. We know we need to be made whole. But forgiveness doesn't only rebuild you, it also rebuilds the relationship. Right? But it does it in that order. We want the relationship that gets fixed up without having to mess with ourselves, but that's not what happens. It rebuilds you so that you are able to be the player in the relationship that is going to be happening. I got a little project I need a little help with here. Nick and Kale, you look like you guys know how to work with Legos, right? All right. So I got some Legos here. I have this car. This is the neat. I really like this car. I worked really hard on this, and I made this car. Cool, right? All right. Rolls around. And what I'd like you to do is I would like you to make a house from that. And but here's the deal. I'd really rather you don't take the car apart. I mean, I'd like you to make it into a house, but I really like this car, and I worked really hard to get it like this. And so if you don't mind, make a house, but like don't mess with the car. I do have a couple other random pieces here. You know, a tree for the front yard, there's a window, stuff like that. So you think you can do that?
Sure.
Is that a problem?
No problem.
Okay. So, yeah, have fun. I'll check in with you after a little bit. All right, good. All right. I know you're all jealous, but I can't have everybody doing this. Right. So, again, in the New Testament, after the time of Jesus, there's this guy named Paul, and he's going around to the communities that kind of have heard this, what Jesus was teaching and the kind of world that he was trying to show them, and he's helping them make sense of it. And in that, he says this. He says, couple of simple lines. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Now, I think the becoming a new creation, everything old has passed away. It's gone. Everything is being made new. That's kind of clear. One of the questions there, what does this in Christ mean? What do you mean? If you're in Christ, then that happens. And we need to be clear. He isn't saying if you believe in Jesus, or if you go to church, or you call yourself a Christian, those are all superficial things. Anybody can say those things or think those things. That's not what it's about. When he says, when you are in Christ, what he's saying is, if you are up to what Jesus was up to, then you are participating in what Jesus was about. That's what in Christ is. It means you're participating in what Jesus was all about. And what was Jesus about? Jesus was about death and resurrection. Jesus was about giving everything, losing everything in order to gain what mattered. Jesus was about being last so that you could be first. Jesus was about the old things passing away, being gone, right, in order for the new to come. And what he's saying was, when you do those things, when you start trusting that, when you start living that way, then you are in Christ. You're participating in this tearing down in order to rebuild thing that Jesus was about. That's big stuff. So this not just fixing things up or getting over it or returning to what you had before, but rebuilding through forgiveness is a big part of forgiveness asking. And we're going to look at that. So this whole thing of forgiveness asking, which was, you know, in Christ and the tearing down to be built up, has sort of three parts to it. This is, you know, when you have to go and say you're sorry. So I'm not going to just talk about asking for forgiveness. Like, how do you do it? So I want to say that asking for forgiveness has three parts. It has, first of all, you say, I'm sorry that I hurt you. The next one is, I want to receive your forgiveness. The third is, I want to prove to you that I am worthy of your trust again. Don't have to remember those all right now. Now, those are three very artificial points with language you probably won't use. The words, exact words, aren't that important. It's the movements that are important, right? And so this first one is, I'm sorry that I hurt you. Silence. I'm sorry that I hurt you. That's the apology part. It's not the fun part. It's not a real fun part to this. It's an important part to all of it. But here's the trick, and this is why the silence. I am sorry that I hurt you. No qualifications. No rationalizations. No exceptions. No nothing. Say it and shut up. Otherwise, you're not really saying it. I mean, if you're like me, what you want to do is add a but to it. I'm sorry, but you really made me mad. I'm sorry, but I wasn't having a good day. I'm sorry, but I thought you really wanted me to. Do you realize how all those are actually ways of using or actually abusing the words in order to have it not be your fault? Yeah? And my favorite is when we turn it all the way around and what we say is something like, I'm sorry that you misunderstood what I was doing, right? Which is this weird way of actually what you're saying is, if you had half a brain, you would have understood what I was doing and that I was right and you were wrong and you should be apologizing to me. I mean, we flip it around to be the other person's fault, right? That isn't saying you're sorry. That isn't forgiveness. And if it seems like I know a lot about this, it's not because I've studied it so much. I've just practiced it a lot. Yeah, we learn the hard way sometimes. But see, I'm sorry isn't just the hardest couple of words to say in any language. It's the hardest couple of words to say and then shut up. Just put it out there. I'm sorry that I hurt you. Just let it sit there between you in the uncomfortableness and that you don't have it put together and you're not winning, you're not ahead, you're vulnerable, and just be there accepting responsibility. So this is the sort of thing that you need to practice because it's really hard to say it and to say it and to shut up. So turn to the person next to you, all right, and look at them and say, I'm sorry. Seriously. If it doesn't really matter if you know the person or not. In fact, it's probably easier if you don't know them. So go ahead, turn to the person next to you and say, I'm sorry. All right. And now you can say it back. All right, now there's someone else. Turn around to someone else around you. If the person is a couple seats away, you may have to go over. Say, I'm sorry. Oh, you guys are making it sound like it's fun. I mean, you got... Yeah, right. Okay, so... Yeah, keep that going. So here's the deal, and maybe why we don't like it. Asking for forgiveness is humbling, right? That's that vulnerable side to it. It's humbling. And well, let me explain to you why. Let's see. Where's the house?
It's there.
No, it's not. You just put the people out of the car. There's no house.
Well, you got what you want.
I got what I... No, I wanted a house.
Well, you sleep in your car.
I sleep in my car. So why couldn't you make it into a house?
There's a window.
Is it maybe because I didn't let you take this apart? Yeah, right. I think that's kind of how it works. Like you maybe could have turned it into something more like what I was hoping to have, but I would have needed to have given you permission to take this apart, right? Yeah. So, I mean, this is why forgiveness is so hard, why asking for forgiveness is so hard, is that I don't want to be dismantled, right? I don't want what I think is precious, how I'm comfortable, the world that I know to be messed with. I want the new thing. I just don't want you to mess with what I've already got. And it doesn't work that way. I mean, that's what it is. Asking forgiveness is humbling, but if you aren't torn down, God can't rebuild you. Let me explain that word God a little bit. But if you aren't willing to be torn down, God is not going to be able to rebuild you. Here's what we do. We get in a mess, and we want God to fix things for us. So we ask God, you know, to help with our relationships, to fix them, to rebuild them, but we aren't willing to put everything on the table. It's like, you know, saying in essence, you know, I really want my relationship at work or at home or whatever to be better, but, you know, can you, like, kind of leave me the way I am? I mean, I don't really want to make that venture inside me. I don't want to see that stuff that I don't want to know about myself. I don't really want to change. I mean, the ultimate thing is, could you change that person so they appreciated me enough that our relationship would be okay and I could just be the person I was before? It's a nice wish. It's not going to happen. It's certainly not going to create anything new. It is not the old has passed away and see everything is now new. I mean, being in Christ is all about disassembly and reassembly. And also, when you think about it that way, you also have to realize that this is a huge misconception of what God is and how God works. God isn't a magician in the sky that just fixes things for us. No, God doesn't do anything in us, for us, around us, and let us sit idly by. What God is, when we're thinking in these ways, and what God does is tied into the way the world works, right? It's the way the fabric of existence is woven together. And in order to rebuild something new, to build something new, we need all the pieces on the table, including the ones that make up your status quo, your comfortability, the way you understand yourselves now, the things that keep you in your comfort zone. What God needs you to do, the way this is put together, the way the world is put together, the way that relationships are made to work, is that we're willing to kind of roll over and show our tender underside. We're willing to expose ourselves and to admit the things that we don't know and haven't figured out and that we're not perfect and that we don't have things all figured out yet, because then there's some possibility for us, right? That's the stuff that we need to work with in order to have this new relationship happen. On the side of your Sunday paper, you'll see a little bubble that says, your problem isn't that you make mistakes. The problem isn't that you make mistakes, but that you pretend that you don't. You pretend that you don't. You don't need to pretend that you don't make mistakes. God isn't asking you to not make mistakes. God knows you're going to make them. God just wants you to make them and learn from them. Trust that this world that somehow took the chaos of all the matter that's flying around here in our universe and somehow formed life in the world that we are in and pulled us out of that dust to be who we are as enormous exceptions to just the randomness of our universe, that same, let's call it love, is willing to do the same thing with the chaos in your life, the dust, the dirt in your life, and to pull it together into something new, into something whole and something beautiful. And while we can trust God with it, I think we can trust the people in our life that love us with that as well. Okay, that was a lot about this first part of the apology there. I'm sorry because I hurt you. But here's part two, all right? Part two, I'm sorry that I hurt you. I would like to receive your forgiveness. Now, receive there is probably the big word. I'd like to receive your forgiveness. You cannot snatch it from that person, okay? Forgiveness is a gift that you are not in control of. That's what's so hard about it. I'm not in control of that gift. And I may not always get it from the other person because just the fact that I ask for it doesn't mean that it's going to come to me. Now, I need you to hear this. Forgiveness is about relationships. It forges stronger and better ones, but it starts with you. And sometimes the other person cannot, will not. Sometimes the person isn't even able. Maybe it's not even actually a person you're seeking this forgiveness from. So there's no way that that person is going to or can give you that forgiveness. And that has to be okay. Because ultimately, your ability to move on, your ability to be made whole again is not going to come from that person. It's going to come from you. And it needs to be able to come from inside you. So we need to be okay with that. There are elements of self-forgiveness in this that we're going to be talking about in a couple of weeks. And, of course, you can maybe already imagine talking about self-forgiveness. We're going to call it F yourself appropriately so or inappropriately so. I don't know. But that's what it's about, right? You are doing what you can do to weave yourself into the world the way you belong, according to an understanding of things that are much bigger than your own little head and your own preferences and the path of least resistance, and you're going to be whole. And that's how this has just got to be enough. Now, there are also times when you ask for forgiveness and you don't think it was your fault. Or at least you think, well, it was the other person's fault at least as much as I am, and I'm willing to say I'm sorry if he or she will say I'm sorry at the same time. Bilateral forgiveness, right? You know how well that works? Have you tried that? I'm still waiting on a couple. It doesn't happen, right? I mean, when you both get to that place, you're willing to say it together. I mean, don't wait for that to happen. Why are you asking forgiveness? It's to make yourself whole. It's to start rebuilding yourself so that the relationship can be rebuilt later. So why are you waiting for the other person? Do what you can do. Take that responsibility. Take that act. Claim that act, that step of wholeness for yourself and say, I'm sorry. Remember, this is about you, about rebuilding yourself first. And I just have to add, there are incidences of hurt that are not your fault at all. You were the victim of someone else's damage against you. And I understand that. And that's really important. And one of the things about power in a world is that power is often wielded in a way that makes you feel like you are responsible and that you're supposed to say you're sorry for it, and you do not. That is not what forgiveness is about. That's not how it works, and you do not need to say you're sorry in those places. You'll need to be doing your own work and to figure out how you can begin this path of wholeness without that and releasing that other person from it so that they do not have control over you. Okay, so another thing to note on this that fits out of that is to receive forgiveness from that person, if they do give it to you, does not relieve you of consequences, all right? Tom Barrett was a perfect example of that. He did his time, he asked for forgiveness, but he also was going to pay the $1.29. He's going to sell plasma in order to have enough money to do that. You still have responsibility for what you did, and that takes us to this third part of asking for forgiveness. I'm sorry for that I hurt you. I wouldn't want to receive your forgiveness. And this third is, I want to prove that I am worthy of your trust. This is huge, all right? Parts one and two are really difficult. This is a total showstopper. And I purposely made the second half of that kind of awkwardly worded. I want to prove that I am worthy of your trust, right? I could have just said trustworthy, but the thing is we hear trustworthy and we kind of know that as a word and it just slips right by us. No, I want to prove that I am worthy of being trusted by you. That's easier said than done. And that's a long path to get to that a lot of times. It's forgiveness, and the piece behind this is forgiveness is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift, but trust is earned. In fact, repeat that with me, right? Forgiveness is a gift, but trust is earned, all right? Forgiveness and trust are not the same thing. They often get piled onto each other as if they are the same thing. Hey, I asked for your forgiveness. Like, what more do you want me to do? Well, actually, quite a lot. I mean, you asked for forgiveness. I'm willing to kind of let you on there, but that doesn't mean I trust you yet. It doesn't mean that you've shown yourself that you are worthy of, you know, having that kind of freedom in my life or in the world around me yet. And so those are not the same thing, and it's important for us to get this. We forget this part. Forgiveness doesn't let you off the hook. Forgiveness lifts guilt, but it does not relieve us of responsibility. Now, this is can be hard. The reason that this is such a showstopper is one is that we just get it mixed up and we don't distinguish between the two. But the person that you have hurt, the person who needs to do the forgiving, this trust rebuilding has to happen at their pace. As a person asking for forgiveness, you aren't in control of how fast this is going to happen. It probably, I can guarantee you, it won't happen as fast as you want it to. Right? That's just one of the givens of it. And so that can be really hard to sit and to wait for that. It not only happens at the pace of the person, but there are times when the other person maybe can't even, isn't ready to even give you a chance to start demonstrating the fact that you are worthy of their trust again. And you need to be patient. You need to wait for that and hold on to that while that person may or may not get to that point. The other thing is, you know, that we aim too high. We try to overcompensate. We try to prove on big things, and it just doesn't work. So start small. And the other thing is think in the other person's terms, not in your own. Again, that's one of the things we do. I want to prove that I'm trustworthy, so I'm going to do all the things that I recognize as being trustworthy, whereas they may be completely different things in your mind. So that's empathy, right? Understanding how this has affected the other person and speaking the language that they need to be spoken to in about that. So think about this relationship between forgiveness and trust this way. Forgiveness is a healing that you need within yourself to make you healthy. It's the same for the other person. Forgiveness is what the other person needs in their life between them and you so that they can be healthy. Trust is a healing that the relationship needs, right? So forgiveness is what each of us need individually to rebuild. Trust is what will rebuild the relationship between us so that it can be healthy. And just because you're forgiven doesn't mean that you are trustworthy. And that's especially important. I've kind of said this, but I really want to make this point clear. It's an important distinction for what we're going to be talking about next week, which is, you know, giving forgiveness, granting forgiveness to another person. Yes, we need to give forgiveness to another person. One is so that I need to forgive you so that I can let go of that and I can start rebuilding and working my way out. I also can give you that gift, right? It was a gift so that you can be released and you can start rebuilding. But that does not mean that I am ready to trust you or that I have to trust you. Those are completely separate things. So this does not mean the fact that you forgive someone doesn't mean that you have to open yourself, you have to be vulnerable to them, or you have to trust them yet. That's important. Okay, so what I want to leave you with today, know these three parts. I'm sorry that I hurt you. I want to receive your forgiveness. And I want to prove that I am worthy of your trust again. That, and then the names, initials, whatever, that you put in that squiggly part, those go together to make what I am calling the forgiveness challenge, all right? And you probably can see what that is, all right, without my even saying it. But what you want me to say is, this week, I want you to think about some of the people on that list and how you would go to them and say you're sorry. And that isn't what I want you to do. I don't want you to think about it. I want you to do it, all right? Yeah, that's fun. You're all just can't wait to get out here and do that. All you Viking fans, you can, or all you Packer fans can go to Viking fans after this afternoon and say, we're sorry we beat you so badly. Sorry. But I want you to do that. I want you to not just think about it. I want you to do it. So this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like. Go to these people. Go to that person and stop and take a breath. In fact, do that right now. Settle down, relax. Close your eyes if you need to. This is kind of our prayer, right? We're entering this holy place of honesty and humility and of hope, realizing that we're holding something so tight. We're holding hurt. We're holding things that are messed up in our relationships that have kept us apart. They've made us feel distressed and worried. We're holding on to those as if it's better to hold on to those and not open our hands than to actually heal it. So you take that breath. You go to the person and you take your breath and you tell them, I'm sorry. Sorry that I hurt you. Then you're quiet. And you don't know what's going to happen. Like I said, you may be the kid pulling his finger out of the dike. But I think that with going there with no excuses, no extenuating circumstance, and letting them know that you want to clear the tension between you and earn their trust back, and however it was broken, I think you'll find that even when it doesn't go well, that you will find that you did enter that place where you need to be, and that it is a good place to be. It is a place for rebuilding. It's a place for becoming whole again. It's a place for embracing this disassembly so that you can be reassembled in a fuller and a more holy way. And you're going to want to do it again and again and again. Asking for forgiveness is not your destruction, it is your hope. Take a breath. Visualize that person. Visualize the version of them that hasn't been demonized with all the friction in your life and in your imagination. But is the person that you would have dreams of having life with and doing good with and building this world with. May it be so. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you take this conversation and keep it going. If we are adding value to your life, we appreciate your support of this work so we can engage more people in these conversations that matter for their real lives too. You can do that at fabricmpls.com/give. We'd also love to have you join us any Sunday morning at 10:30 at Field Community School in Minneapolis. That's at 4645 4th Avenue South. There are opportunities for kids of all ages to connect to. Learn more by searching Fabric Minneapolis.